I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, boys and girls, we got us a hot one this morning. I can tell you that. Appreciate you joining us. Is April 4th? Isn't that, just thinking now, isn't that when Dr. King was killed? Wasn't it April 4th? You know, a year and a half ago, we went to Memphis. I did some ministry down in Memphis. We went to the hotel where he was. That thing is still as is. It's like a museum now. And wow, that was a pretty impactful visit. I think it was today. I think it was April 4th, 2000, whatever year it would have been. Dr. King was killed. Hey, listen, we got Aaron Brummett with us. You say who? Yeah, that street preacher. Remember, I showed you that video a few days ago of him being arrested, and I've been trying to get a hold of Aaron for a couple of days here. Finally got him in here with us. Aaron, sit tight, brother. We're going to get to you in a second. Excited about having you on here with us. And I come with a heavy heart today just because of the whole situation with Rusty Thomas and Jeremiah Thomas. And I'm going to give you an update on that. Appreciate all the prayers and everything that's going on. Bear with me, Aaron. I made you get up early, and I'm going to make you sit there a minute or two. But it's important for those who watch the show with us every day. We prayed yesterday. And Jeremiah is going into surgery probably as we speak now, right now. And from what my understanding is, and again, I won't speak anything out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I'm going to speak, we're believing for a miraculous healing in the life of Jeremiah Thomas. I got scripture here to show it to you here in just a second. But what the doctor says, after he did some, he had to go to the emergency room again yesterday. Got to the point where he couldn't even walk. And so they did some more CAT scans or MRIs, whatever it was that they do on him. And found out that the tumor has kind of wrapped itself against the spinal cord and is putting pressure on the spinal cord, causing him a great, great amount of pain. And so they're going in this morning to remove that tumor from off the spinal column. And it's very, very tenuous and very, very, that's a big word I learned. It's very, very, doctor's got to be careful. He's in a very, very sensitive area. And we really don't know what really is going on, other than they're going to go in there today and they're going to do some surgery on Jeremiah. I thought it was 7 o'clock this morning, which would be 8 o'clock our time. And I just want, I just can't imagine. Our brother Rusty Thomas has given his life to rescue those unborn children. Lost his own wife 2007 from cancer, and has been through it. And Rusty would be the first one to tell you that he knew what he signed up for when he signed up for it. But I just grieve for him today. I even thought about last night as a last minute, just jumping on a plane and flying down there just to be with him. I told him, I said, Rusty, I'm lifting up your arms. We're all lifting up their arms. He and his wife, Kendra, and the wonderful family that they have. And I want us to pray for that again. See, here's one of the issues that in all this Christianity that we're trying to live out and walk out. Jared, open up Matthew 15. I got to show you something here, guys. Listen, I want you to think about this. Something is wrong with American Christianity, I think. We start these prayer chains, and these prayer chains are good, and you know, I'm all for them, and everybody keep praying and pray for the healing of Jeremiah and comfort and peace upon Rusty and Kendra and the family and all those who I'm for all of that. But I don't think we have to beg God to do what he said he would do. We have to beg him. Go down, get up this morning. Oh, Lord, please, again, Lord, please. Just, Lord, please, to beg God to do what he told us is our right. I'm in Matthew chapter 15, and I'm starting in verse 21. Jared, if you can get that up. Aaron, don't you start preaching on me. You stay right there. Then Jesus went hence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, for my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. Now, we could go back and start talking about spiritual warfare in the church. She's grievously vexed with the devil. But he didn't answer her. The Lord didn't answer. First of all, she's not one of them, is she? And his disciples came and besought him, saying, get her out of here. Get her out of here, because she keeps crying at us. Stop that. Remember, she's not a child of God. But he answered and said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So Jesus is saying, listen, I'm sorry. That's out of my realm here. I mean, it's never out of the Lord's realm, right? It's never out of his realm. But he said, hey, it isn't for her. But he answered and said, verse 25, then came she and worshiped him. A lost woman comes and worships the Lord on behalf of her daughter who's vexed with the devil, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered, she's got a cold heart, man. But he answered and said, it's not right to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Wow. And Jesus answered to her, O woman, great is thy faith.
Amen.
Be it unto thee, even as thou wish. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Healing is the children's bread, is the way I see it. Healing is just something that ought to be natural. We don't have to beg the Lord and continue to petition him and say this prayer the right way and that prayer the right way. That his will would be done. As Larry said, that his will would be done. And we know that the will of the Lord is that Jeremiah promised, I will above all things that they prosper and be in good health, even as thy soul prospers. It is the will of God that Jeremiah Thomas would be healed. Pastor Dale, I'm going to ask you if you would just lift it up to us again this morning. And Lord, we're not coming back. And yeah, we're knocking on the door again. And yes, we're reminding you again. But Lord, we stand in faith, believing a miracle that this young man is going to be raised up.
Amen. Coach, the scripture says in Mark chapter 11, he says, if you say unto the mountains, be thou plucked up and removed. I'm telling God about our mountains when the scripture says we need to be shouting at the mountains about the glory and the majesty and the splendor and the power of our God. Thus, Psalms 95 would be fulfilled, that the mountains will melt like wax at the presence of our God. This day, we don't cry out to you, God. We speak to the mountains in Jeremiah's body, and we say, thou plucked up and be removed. Father, we speak your word according to your scripture that Amen. Says that thy word is medicine and bringeth forth healing even into the bones of man. Father, we allow, Lord, your word to go forth and melt the mountains in Jeremiah's life. Father, we speak life. We do not speak death. We speak blessing. We do not speak curse. Lord, I pray that thy word, which is sharper than any two-edged sword, right now does a surgical miracle. You're not a normal God. You're a supernatural God. Lord, I pray that you move on his behalf and do a surgery in his body that no man and no prayer can take credit for this day in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. So let it be. What would Pharaoh say? So let it be written. So let it be done. Amen, Dale. Amen. Amen. Great prayer. Great prayer. Amen. Amen. Hey, listen, we are joined today by Pastor Aaron Brummett. Let me catch my breath here a second. Yeah, I'm rusty. I just stand with rusty, Lord Jesus. Aaron Brummett, we watched I want you to show this, Jared. Go to the first one. Five. It's that second one says 4 minutes, 5 years ago, Jared. Aaron Brummett. I don't know how I got to know Pastor Aaron, but I got to know him. All my travels down through Springfield, Missouri, which is they say the buckle of the Bible Belt. Springfield, home of the Assemblies of God denomination, Springfield, Missouri. I came across this crazy street preacher, Aaron Brummett. And Aaron has been causing, as the scripture says, he's been causing quite a stir in the Springfield, Missouri area. And he's not some Johnny come lately. He's not some Aaron come lately. Aaron has been battling back and forth for who knows how long. And I want you to see a clip from about 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, of Aaron. This was done by the local news department of Aaron Brummett. Aaron's going to join us here in just a second. Go ahead and play that, Jared.
This is KY3 News at 6.
Ticketed 9 times and counting for something he says he has permission to do. Good evening, I'm Lisa Rose.
And I'm Steve Grant, preaching on a portable pulpit and feeling persecuted. KY3's Sarah Forhetz joins us live downtown with the Rev's story. Sarah?
You can come down here every Friday night, and no doubt you will see and hear Pastor Aaron Brummett preaching. He says that he is on a mission from God that he feels is in jeopardy, along with his freedom of speech.
Once again, preach about the love of Jesus Christ.
He's been taunted.
We've had people spit on our Bibles.
Laughed at. And knocked down.
People have come by and actually pushed me off the stand while I'm preaching.
But Pastor Aaron Brummett says nothing compares to this.
We are not strangers, are we?
So ticketed time and time again. Brummett and Springfield police are now on a first-name basis.
Unfortunately tonight, kind of like the last time you and I talked, we do have somebody that wanted to complain against you for the volume.
But Pastor Brummett's volume is not too loud, according to the city's ordinance and its own admission.
So Chris Straw, who's the head of the building and permits office, sent me an email saying for the activity we're doing, we do not need a permit, and that we can do it at no higher than 75 decibels, which we followed from the beginning, so we've never broken any laws, and we're not using the city's power to conduct our event. We're not blocking traffic, so we're following what the city has asked us to follow.
Springfield city attorney says the tickets are simply because someone is willing to sign a complaint saying their peace was disturbed.
We're not the ones that are filing the charges. Yes, we file the charges, but there are citizens who are claiming that he's disturbing their peace. So it doesn't matter what he's saying. The issue is how loud it's being said and where he's saying it.
In this case, this couple actually asked us if we wanted to watch them call police. What Brummett's attorney says is this is ridiculous and what he calls a blatant violation of free speech.
Defined in Romans chapter 8.
Attorney D. Wampler is fed up and he's defending Brummett for free. So why not just hang it up?
I believe that not only do we need to have church services, but we also need to come out to where the people are and give them the heartbeat of Christ.
Brummett says he was called to share the gospel while serving our country in Afghanistan.
We just want to bring the hope and the peace of Christ to this city.
He was defending the very freedom he now feels like he's lost.
We believe everybody should have the same voice and the same freedom to speak.
And city attorney Dan Wickmer says he doesn't know yet if Aaron Brummett is breaking the law. He says that will be up to the people who summons him to court and whether the judge buys the story or not. They go to court next week. And, of course, Steve D. Wampler saying, of course, that he is not breaking the law.
All right, Sarah Forhetz.
So there you go, Jared. There you go. I was lucky. I don't know. I had an electricity shutdown here, and I scrambled to get back in here, just made it back in. I saw the video earlier. They didn't even know if it was against the law and they arrested him. That's what the prosecution said. They don't even know if it's against the law. What kind of country? Now, that was 4 or 5 years ago. This Aaron is not this ain't Aaron's first rodeo. And if we can take just a minute, Aaron, I'm going to bring you in here just a second, brother. Jared played the other video that we have of Aaron being arrested. This happened. Let me get the date here, Aaron. This happened just last Friday, Good Friday. Good Friday. We showed this the other day. This happened on Good Friday, the Aaron Brummett. By the way, did you notice they called him Preach? The guy called him, made fun of him. Did you notice that media guy? Go ahead, Jared. Keep in mind, guys, a veteran, Gulf War veteran. And you'll see he's got a little bit of spunk.
The Constitution says Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion, nor for prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, And here tonight we've got a corrupt officer that's trying to stop the freedom of speech in America. The Constitution was given to us. Over 1 million soldiers died. Don't you touch my Bible. Over 1 million soldiers bled and died for this Constitution and the Bill of Rights that I have in my hand. And corrupt police officers want to take away those rights. And can I tell you here today, when I stand here on the blood of 1 million soldiers, Marines, Navy, Air Force, and Coast Guard, who bled to give us the freedom of speech and the freedom of religion. And you're going to have to pull that Bible and that Constitution from my cold, dead hands. Get your hands off me. You're unlawful. You are corrupt. You have no right to do what you're doing. Stop twisting my arm. Washington said, if the freedom of speech is taken away, then we will be led like sheep to the slaughter. And we've come to a place in America where corrupt police officers will try to take away the freedom of speech, and they are cowards to hide behind a badge, they're cowards to hide behind a gun, and they are bullies of the New World Order. Shame on them. They are disgrace to this nation. They are disgrace to every soldier that has bled and died. America, and you need to wake up. You need to wake up, because this is what America has come to. This is what this nation has come to. And I'm here to tell you today that we are not going to back down and let bullies and bigots try to take away our rights. I'll stand for them if it costs me my life. I'll stand for them if it costs me everything that I have.
Amen, Pastor Aaron. You got me hooping and hollering here. Come on in here, brother. How you doing this morning, Aaron?
Praise God. It's good to be on your show this morning.
So tell us, brother, what? I just laugh every time I think about you, because, folks, I've been out there with Aaron when he goes through this. The cops just hate you, don't they, Aaron? They want to shut your mouth, brother.
That's exactly right, Tim. It's astounding that here in the buckle, the Bible belt, we have so much opposition against the real true gospel of Jesus Christ.
So, Aaron, you just about every Friday night. I mean, I catch your videos. You go live all the time. You've been doing this, Aaron, for 5-6 years, going down to the public square. And all you do is you get up on a little soapbox. You got a little microphone, little device that you put on, and you just preach the gospel of Jesus. And Aaron, you've documented numbers of times. I'm just laying a little bit of a foundation here, of cars driving by with their radios blaring and other groups being down there with rock music going on. But for some reason, they are after you for preaching the gospel. Tell us what's going on, Aaron.
Well, here's what's interesting. A week ago, as we all know, across this nation, there's been rallies that have been taking place for anti-Second Amendment rights. We had a major rally here in Springfield 6 days before this arrest. And I went out with a video camera and videotape. BLM was out there, Black Lives Matter, using bullhorns on the same exact square that I'm trying to stand on to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there is a clear discrimination going on against one particular voice in this country, and that is the voice of Jesus Christ and the gospel of the cross.
And so, Aaron, you... As you said, and my buddy Dale Socia says here, you're not even begging for a constitutional right. You have a biblical mandate to do what God has called you and instructed you in book of Matthew in particular to go ye into all the world, brother. And that includes downtown Springfield, Missouri.
That's right. Most Christians are so busy sitting on their hands that they don't understand that there is a call, not just on pastors and deacons and missionaries and evangelists to go into all the world, but Mark 16:15 is spoken as the last words of Jesus Christ to his church. And as we find the scripture, it says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That means that there's no place that we should not be going to spread the gospel, whether it be on the city streets, whether it be in the Colosseums, whether it be on the side of the seashore, whether it be on a hill, mountaintop, in a church. There should not be a location that true Christians do not go to. If there are people there, we must take the gospel to them. And I think the great problem that we have, and I'm going to borrow words from you, from several years ago, but I think we have way too many Mr. Rogers kind of Christians, and we need some Stevens to stand up, and we need some more that are going to do what Jesus said. I mean, he said in Matthew 10 in verse number 33, he said, but whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I'm not come to send peace, but, oh, this word is so hated by the liberal church, but a sword. And we know that sword is the sword of the Spirit that must be lifted up through the preaching of his word. But he doesn't stop there. He goes on and he says, for I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes, a man's enemies shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is.
Amen. Aaron seems to have frozen there a second. Aaron, you may have to just refresh. Is that what he should do? There you're back. There you're back, brother. There you're back.
Very good. So once again, the Bible's clear here in Matthew chapter 10 that Jesus came not to send peace, which is what most pastors are trying to do, but through compromise, through lukewarmness. Jesus is saying there in Matthew 10 and verse 34 that he came to send a sword, which we know is the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. And it goes on and says that if we do that, we are going to create variance in our own family. I would say also in our church community, we're going to create constant agitation in the lukewarm church. And the Bible says in Matthew 10, 36.
There's a loop going on somewhere.
Amen. Foes shall be they of his own household. Jesus is saying there in Matthew 10.
Okay. Hey, listen, we're having, Aaron, we're having some technical issues. It's not on your end. You just be careful. You're coming across great to me, but some guys are getting some feedback. So hang with us. So Aaron, take us back here a little bit, brother, because this isn't just the first time. They just didn't show up Friday and decide they were going to arrest you. This has been an ongoing battle with the police in Springfield, Missouri. Take us through a little bit of the history that you have for trying to do nothing more than exercise your biblical mandate to speak the truth of the gospel of Jesus.
Well, we started street preaching about 6 years ago, and we began trying to do everything we could to create a legal relationship with the city. And so we created a listing of all the major court cases that have upheld the freedom of speech, including using low-level amplification. Famous court cases like Isaiah versus New York, which says that loudspeakers are today indispensable instruments of effective public speech. It is the way people are reached. And that's a direct quote. So we use loudspeakers, and I use a very small 16-watt speaker. It's about the size of two wallets put together on my belt. I wear that. And we use that because we're in environments where we've had people come up with speakers and other kinds of amplifiers and try to drown out our preaching through music and other methods. And in our day and age, you have to so many times use either a bullhorn or some kind of a speaker to reach the people.
Yeah, you want them to hear you, right, Aaron? You want them to hear you. That's the whole purpose of free speech. If they can't hear you, it's not free.
Correct. And there's a lot of lukewarm Christians that they take offense to the fact that we do that, but they fail to realize that every other liberal group in this nation is using amplifiers. Black Lives Matter uses them everywhere they go.
They take over the street. They don't just use amplification, Aaron. They take over the daggone street. They walk right down, right?
That's right. Of course, they also burn down buildings. They turn over police cars. You know, their form of freedom of speech is a riot. And, you know, as a Christian, we don't believe in that, but we do believe that we need to go out boldly. And when we speak, it needs to be heard and it needs to cut to the heart of man. And so we have tried desperately to work with the city for 5 years. I have tried not to pursue a civil suit against the city until now, you know, presently, simply because we wanted to give Springfield enough time to a little bit of long suffering and patience, like God would do with us. But we're at a point now where we've done everything we can. We've fought a battle for 5 years to try to get them to understand that what they're doing is unlawful and unconstitutional. But we've got some very corrupt politicians in this city that many of them professing Christians that do not want the true message to go forward, especially the message that makes them feel comfortable in their lukewarmness and apathy and indifference when it comes to abortion, when it comes to rampant homosexuality and so many other sins that we face here in America.
So, Aaron, as we said to everybody, Springfield, Missouri is the buckle of the Bible Belt, home of the Assemblies of God. And I'm thinking, like, on that road where you head down towards Branson, those great big First Baptist churches, I mean, they're just bang, man, they're everywhere. These form of godliness, denying the power thereof, they're everywhere. So, Aaron, I am sure that those pastors have come to your defense, have they not?
let me tell you how many pastors we have that support the truth in this city and this area. The big zero.
Right. but they haven't even come to your offense, to your side, and say, Aaron, you have the, we don't agree with you, Pastor Aaron, but you have the right to do it, and we're going to stand with you. You're not getting much support from your brothers in the cloth, right?
I think the prophets said it best. They spoke of these dogs that will not bark. these dumb dogs won't stand for nothing. No, we're supposed to be a barking dog. A pastor, amen, evangelist is a barking watchdog to a lukewarm generation. And most pastors are just so busy trying to build their little empire and their little kingdom rather than the kingdom of Christ. And
amen, brother. Hey, hang on a second. Go ahead, Aaron. I'm sorry.
They're too busy worrying about filthy lucre or filthy money than they are about souls of men.
Amen. Hey, I forgot to tell you guys, I'm out of Facebook jail. Jared, I didn't even know if we tried to go live on Facebook tonight. I'm out of jail. I'm officially out. Roger, you wanted to jump in here, Roger?
A quick question, Aaron. And
be careful, Aaron. He's an attorney. This guy's an attorney, Aaron. Be careful.
I'm an attorney. I'm with your message and all that. But do you have a civil suit going on? It seems to me these cities, the only time they really listen is when they get hit with a judgment where they've got to pay somebody. Do you have any type of, I know you're getting arrested, you're probably going to court some, you're pleading your case in front of a criminal court. Is there a civil suit moving forward for damages that are financial?
So as of right now, we are pursuing a civil suit against the city. There is a lawyer out of Pennsylvania that is going to take the case, and we are going to pursue, more of an offensive attack, because the problem is we've been fighting this defensively, and we, once again, as a Christian, I do try to walk a fine line here. I'm totally for, at some point, suing cities if they're going to be corrupt like this. We did work out an agreement about 2 years ago, and the city signed an agreement with me with a judge present. The prosecuting attorney signed it. My lawyer signed it. And then the judge signed it as well. That agreement has been totally violated now to the extent that I am now, I believe I have total liberty of the Lord to fight this, you know, offensively.
So, Aaron, what is it they've charged with? By the way, anybody wants to jump in, or you can jump in at any time. What are they charged with, Aaron? Disturbing the peace?
It's always either disturbing the peace or a form of that.
Well, praise the Lord. You're supposed to do that.
Amen.
They're a bunch of clowns, brother. That's what it is.
Jesus was the first disturber of the peace. He said, think not
Amen.
To send peace.
Amen, brother.
That's right, but a sword. So Aaron, when they come, like they came on Friday night. Again, folks, this is Aaron Brummett in Springfield, Missouri. Aaron, when they came Friday night to arrest you, what are the cops saying? Are they begging you to stop preaching? Are they begging you to go down to the free speech area? What is their approach? Because Aaron, certainly they know, you know. I mean, you guys aren't strangers, right? So when they come pulling up there on Friday night again, going to arrest this guy again, what's their attitude?
Well, the police, there's one particular police officer that continues to be he's a some sort of a superior officer that continues to kind of be the instigator of all this. His name is Sergeant Ringel. He is the corrupt police officer in Springfield, Missouri. Like 3 years ago or 4 years ago, we arrested that first time where I was put in handcuffs. Anthony Myers. Yeah. Myers was put in handcuffs. One of our Sunday school teachers was put in handcuffs. We were hauled off in a paddy wagon to jail. Sergeant Ringel was the one that instigated virtually everything and then brought in 10 or 11 other officers to help the arrest. I've talked to him multiple times and, you know, gone through the court cases with him. I will try to explain the best I can that, you know, in the state of Missouri, it's a felony for anybody to stop a pastor or a worship service that is functioning. And so all these police officers are felons as well in the state of Missouri. And I've explained that, and he just laughs and he thinks it's a big joke. And the way these corrupt officers function, they have to sear their conscience. And so what they do is they try to get as many people and corrupt other people to support them in their endeavors. And then they go forward with it, thinking that they are doing God a service or the nation a service, when in fact they're Nazis, is what I call them. Nazis and communists is what they are.
Aaron, that's like reminds me of Cool Hand Luke. I don't know if you're a bit younger than me. I don't know if you ever saw that movie, but that when one of the walking bosses was putting the bucket in the hole when Luke was going to go in there and spend the night, they put the bucket in that he'd go to the bathroom in. He leaned down. And he put the bucket down, and the walking boss said, just doing my job, Luke. Just doing my job. And Luke said, calling it your job, don't make it right. I've never forgot that. That's one of the greatest lines in all of movie history. Calling it your job, don't make it right. That's where we are, isn't it, Aaron? They call it their job, and so therefore they assuage their conscience. They don't feel bad. I'm just doing my job.
Well, isn't it what Eichmann said during his Nuremberg trial?
It's the exact same thing, Larry. Yeah, go ahead, Aaron. I'm sorry.
Well, he just said exactly what I was going to say. The Nuremberg trials showed that, yes, you are held accountable. It doesn't matter if a superior tells you to do something that is unethical or not right. You have the right, and your conscience should be the guide when you're making a decision as a police officer or a soldier. When I was in Iraq as a U.S. soldier, you know, if we were told to do something that was totally unethical, for example, to shoot a child that, didn't have a bomb strapped to him or wasn't involved in any sort of a conflict, to just randomly shoot somebody, to be asked to do that, you would have to decline. And you should actually not just decline, because I believe that silence in the face of evil is evil itself. You should actually be the one who's confronting those corrupt officers or confronting those corrupt soldiers, if you have any conscience. And the problem is most Americans have no conscience left in this nation.
Amen. Let me open it up here. Anybody want to jump in, ask Aaron something? By the way, he was a vet in the Gulf War. So you talk about a guy having some skin in the game. Aaron's got some skin in the game, right? He fought for his right to be able to stand out there and say that. Come on in, anybody.
I just want to say thank you, Aaron, for service, and thank you for everything that you're doing right now.
Amen, Serge.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you. Hey, brother. Those cops, they should be ashamed of themselves, basically. They know that they're that excuse, oh, just following orders, isn't good enough anymore. It's nonsense.
Aaron, why do you think they get away with it? Why are the officials getting away with why are they getting away with violating your rights? Now, Aaron, you said this, but I'm gonna say it again for those who are joining us today. You've done everything you can to work with these people. You sat down with them privately. You took your lawyer, sat down with them, said, here's what the Constitution says. Here's what the city code says. We want to work this out amicably. We don't want to be fighting. We just want to be able to exercise our rights. And you sit down with them, and the judge signs it, and the prosecutor signs it, and your attorney signs it, and then nobody follows it. How are they getting away with that?
Can I field that question for you there, Coach?
Sure, sure.
They're getting away with it because our society allows it and encourages draconian police action like that against any truth that has to do with God.
Not only that, Larry, most of the pastors want Aaron to shut up. They want him to shut up. So they're not on his side. Go ahead, Aaron.
Well, I was just going to add to that, that the reason why this country is in the past several decades continues to head towards not having a constitution and not having a bill of rights that functions or works for those that need it. You know, when the liberals come in, you know, they love to use these rights to protect all the riots and their anarchy. When it comes to a minority, and I believe that you, Coach Dave, are a minority. I believe that all of us probably show are a tiny minority. Jesus said, broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in. I mean, Jesus said that the broad way is filled with people that are calling themselves Christian or naming the name of God. Jesus was not speaking in the book in Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount to people that were of pagan religions. I always try to help people understand this because we are so Bible illiterate these days. That Jesus is speaking to people that are calling themselves after the name of Yahweh. This is not, they're not calling themselves after the name of Baal. They're not Hindus. They're not Muslims. These are the people that claim to be of God. And Jesus said to those people, broad is the road that leads to destruction, to hell, to judgment. And the majority, the multitudes, the many are going in there. And then he says, narrow is the way that leads to life, to heaven, and few there be that find it. Now, I always, when I read that, so often we just skim over it without realizing that Jesus is saying there in Matthew that this tiny little minority, it was hard for them to find the right way. They had to, as I say, go into it desperately seeking God. And only those that seek God desperately with all of their heart are the ones that find him. And so I believe here this morning, and I think that all those that are tuned in, I believe that we are a tiny remnant. And the problem is that even in that remnant, the ones that would be saying that what we're saying here today is true, that yes, we need to be bold, that we shouldn't sit on our hands, even in that remnant. And there are so many that would dare stand in front of an abortion clinic, would dare go out, really stand for something to the point that they would be persecuted even unto death if necessary. And that's where the problem lies. We have so few that are courageous, that really are standing to the extent they're persecuted. And I don't want to say too much more here, but the Bible says all that live godly shall suffer persecution. And we need to get off our hands and realize if we are not being persecuted, we are not living godly. And I believe that if we will get out there with the gospel and really preach it on the streets and confront sin and rebuke sin as the Bible commands, we will suffer persecution. We will.
Hey, you're my kind of guy, Aaron. My kind of guy. Somebody jump in here.
Dave?
Yeah. Yes.
Real quick. And Aaron, my question is not to backdoor you. It's a question that I think maybe a lay person might inquire. So I'm not trying to set you up. I believe in what you're doing. I believe there's a constitutional right that you have. And as a lawyer, I firmly believe that when that freedom of speech is eliminated, we all suffer, Christian and anyone else. Here's my question, though. In the presentation of the gospel, you are going to the exact same location every Friday. My first question is, why is it significant of the same location when there are many places one could speak out? The second, and it plays off of, obviously there is a cultural disdain for your message. I get that. I understand. I don't want to hear that. But here's my question. Is there not the ability to preach at different locations, and would that not be beneficial, or is there a calling just at that location?
That's a good question.
Good question, Roger. Good question. Are you poking them in the eye, Aaron? Is that what you're doing, just poking them in the eye?
Well, there are several things I would have to explain here. First of all, I travel all over the nation and the world to preach. So I go to major events. I was at Mardi Gras this year for 6 days straight, preaching all across that city. The thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands heard the gospel there in New Orleans. I preach in New York City for New Year's Eve. I preach Atlanta. I preach Miami. I preach Black Bike Week, which is an extremely dangerous event once a year, Memorial Day weekend, Myrtle Beach. I went to just... got back about a year ago. I went to Italy and preached at the Colosseum there, where the Christians were killed. Open air preached there. I preached in front of the Vatican. Was arrested by the police. So I preach all over the world, not just in Springfield. The thing is, in Springfield, we only have a population of about 200,000 with all the college students here in the city. It's not a huge city. There's only really one downtown area that, you know, I don't feel comfortable just going to any place. I don't go and stand in front of a business, like right in front of their door, and preach. I think we need to be at least reasonable to an extent. And Park Central Square is an excellent location because you've got all the bars surrounding it. It's a great place, a hub in Springfield for preaching. I preach
about Roger. It's like Broadden High, Roger, in Columbus. I mean, it is the place to be. And Springfield's not that big, and there's a square there, and it's a park where people come. So it is the place you would go.
I also preach on the college campus as well, Missouri State University. I preach there often. I also preach in front of Planned Parenthood, the abortion clinic. Most of the video footage we shoot there. Central Square, that area, simply because it's a great place to preach and set up equipment so other people can tune in live. A lot of the places that I preach are not really a good environment for setting up video.
Got thrown in the Vatican jail. That's a story of itself right there. It is.
Yeah, I was preaching. The Pope was inside St. Peter's Basilica having Mass. I'm out in front of St. Peter's Basilica, right next to the obelisk, preaching. I wasn't using amplification, just my naked voice. But the officers within, I kept praying, God, give me 7 minutes to preach. 7 minutes, or 5 to 7 minutes to preach. And praise God, I was given just about 5 to 7 minutes to preach. And then the secret police showed up, and I had my Bible in my hand, and I asked the officer, I said, well, can I read the Bible in front of the Vatican? And he said, no, that's illegal. You can't read the Bible.
Can't make this stuff up, man. No, come not- on in here.
That's a special kind of stupid right there.
Well, there's probably never, the Bible's probably never been read inside that Vatican. That'd probably be why, right? They wouldn't understand it.
Hey, there'd be people burning up in there, brother.
Hey, Aaron, a little point of direction, you know, from a pastor, street preacher, evangelist, you know, not afraid to wear them beautiful handcuffs.
Dale's one of us, Aaron.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, so when you're speaking with your attorney and the post was in the comment, is the fact is they don't care because it's not their money that's being sued. It's actually the taxpayer money. So maybe from an angle is applying civil lawsuits for male feces in office. These officers are to be trained in the law and in the ordinances in which they're supposed to be kept up. So they have been read and they understand these things. There's somebody in that ranking, and I think you mentioned his name, who's putting the pressure on, because I'm a chaplain with our sheriff's office, and we don't conduct such, you know, some of this crazy nonsense that you see there. Because these officers, it doesn't matter if a person files for disturbance of peace, if that's not according to the ordinances, that officer is to tell the person who's trying to file it and say he's not breaking the law. He's not supposed to just go on a whim and say, well, you're disturbing their peace, therefore XYZ, because then you should be able to call 911 and say these police officers are disturbing my peace because they have guns on them and therefore I want them arrested. And so, see, that's nonsense. So when that DA said it's not us, it's the people, he's in male feces of office because he doesn't even understand his own laws of his ordinances of his cities. And you need to put civil lawsuits not only against the city, but directly against them personally, that their jobs are jeopardized. And that will send a fear into them because they worship their job.
Amen. Well, you know, it is. It is that Cohan Luke was right. Just doing my job. Fellas, that isn't good enough anymore. That is not good enough. So Aaron, I know you guys have heard his heart. He doesn't want to be contentious. He just wants to be able to honor the Lord and do what the Lord's called him to do. But they now have forced him into a position where it becomes contentious. He has to fight back. As you can see, he's wearing a sling from that had some issue with his rotator cuff the other night. If we go back to show the video, you can see what they're doing to try to get his arm behind his back to be able to handcuff him. And so the question is, even though Christ was led to the slaughter, open not his mouth, that doesn't mean we're supposed to. In fact, we're supposed to stand up and cry for righteousness. And it begins with those who are in positions of authority. The people in authority are unrighteous. We're in a world of hurt, brother, that's for sure. Somebody jump in here.
Well, another important thing that I think Christians are forgetting is 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. You want to pull that up real quick.
Second Timothy 4, verse 2.
This is really where the rubber meets the road when it comes to our mission when we preach. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. And I like how you started this whole show out, because you started with a very important passage with the woman that comes to Jesus Christ, and he in essence rebukes her to an extent. But the thing that's missing in the church today is the first two. I always say that the outline for every preacher, every pastor, is number one, you have to reprove those in sin. Reprove in the Greek means you convict somebody or point out the faults of another. We are commanded by God to go into this world and point out the faults, specifically the greatest fault, which is unbelief towards God, but to confront all sin that indwells people that are lost. And then secondly, once we have confronted it, and this is where, you know, we hear so often, don't judge, don't judge. And I'm, you know, when you really read the Bible, you begin realizing that we are commanded to judge. John 7:20. Jesus commands his disciples, judge righteous judgment. And so we are, as Christians, commanded to go out and point out the faults of another. That means to reprove. Then we are to rebuke. That in the Greek means to charge somebody or to forbid them from continuing in a particular action. So first we have to point out the sin. Then we have to tell them to stop that lifestyle. And then we come to the third and the final point we preach, and that is exhortation. And this is what the mega churches spend their whole time doing. This is what the lukewarm Christians spend their whole time doing, and that is they just want to go out and exhort everybody without reproving and rebuking.
Wow, good.
Exhortation means that we invite somebody to come to the one that can help them. It's a invitation in the Greek, and to call somebody to come near. And we are so busy. I like how Ray Comfort says it. He says we're so busy trying to give them the antidote which is Christ. It is the cross. It is the healer, the great physician. But the problem is, if I come to a person who has a disease, a deadly disease, and they have no clue that they have this disease, and I have this antidote or this cure, and I'm trying to tell them to take this, you know, take this antidote, take this cure for your disease, and they're thinking, I don't have this disease. I don't know what you're talking about. This is totally pointless. They are never going to take the cure. But if we point out that they have a problem, if we can diagnose that problem, if we can show them evidence that this is a real problem in their life, they are going to want the cure. They are going to want the help. And so we've got a lot of mega church pastors who spend all their time in exhortation trying to force feed somebody a cure that they don't even think they need. And that's why Wow. we have to start with the reproof. We have to point out the sin, and then we have to tell them to stop this sin. That's rebuke. And then we can tell them how you stop it. And that is through the power of the Holy Ghost, the Lord Jesus Christ, the blood of Christ coming into somebody's life and purging them of these sinful behaviors.
Amen. Aaron, I love to go to Webster's 1828 dictionary. I just pulled it up over here. I know, Jared, if you have time to do that, go to Webster's 1828 and look up the word exhort, which is what I just did. I see if it's on the screen, because that, you know, words mean thing, Aaron. And yes. Exhort means to embolden, to encourage, to yes. embolden, to cheer, to advise. The yes. primary sense seems to be to excite or to give strength or a spirit of courage. To incite by words or advice, to animate or urge by arguments to a good deed or to a laudable conduct or a course of action. I exhort you to be of good cheer, to advise, to warn, to caution, to incite or stimulate to exertion. Isn't that unbelievable? And that's, Aaron, you did such a great job of just compacting that for people to understand. That's what it's all about, right? Reprove. Yep. You're wrong, man. Right?
Right.
Preach the word.
If you look up the Greek word, it's parakaleo, and that Greek word literally means, and I'm just quoting right here out of the Strong's, it says to call near, that is bite, to invoke by importation, consolation, to beseech, to call for, to comfort, to entreat, to pray. And so all that fits so powerfully together that there is a positive side to preaching, but we've got to also, you know, deal with
this. Yes. So, Aaron, an exhortation, as a football coach, I was always doing exhortation, meaning trying to give courage to someone who didn't have it, right? Saying, come on, man, you can do it. Get in there. You can do it. So we reprove them, we rebuke them, and then we say, okay, come on, man, you can do this. You can turn from your wicked ways. You don't have to live like that. You don't have to take drugs. You don't have to be a sodomite. You don't have to. Come on, you can do this. Those three things all go together. And as you said, the churches are all about exhortation.
That's
without
right.
any reproving or without any rebuking. But Aaron, that was worth the time right there. Guys, we got about 6 minutes left. Anybody want to jump in here and ask Aaron something?
Aaron, this is JR. Do you spend any time outside of mega churches or churches rebuking?
We do, actually. If we travel to a location where we're doing like a big event, like Mardi Gras, we'll go out. We'll find a church in the area that we know is corrupt or lukewarm, and we'll go out and we'll preach in front of it. We preached in Myrtle Beach last year in front of a mega church there. So yes, sir, we do that.
Good.
Oh, which one here in Myrtle Beach?
Well, believe it or not, it was a Baptist church there on, I'm trying to think the name of the main road. What had happened was a street preacher friend of mine who Coach Dave knows very well, Brian Cranford, there was a homosexual church in that city that he was trying to find, and he went to a particular address. The church wasn't there, and there was a guy standing out on the street corner. He asked him, what church is not doing anything in this city to confront the sin? And so he named some Baptist church, a Southern Baptist church that was there. And so we went out and confronted that church. we were cussed out by so-called Christians. We were threatened to be beat up by so-called Christians there. There was an older man who I believe was a saved, born-again Christian who came out at first and kind of stood against me. And I confronted him boldly, very sharply. And he chased us down to the campsite we were at in tears. He came to our campsite and totally repented of what he had said to us. He has actually been meeting up with a street preacher friend of mine and going out to the streets now and helping doing street preaching after he was confronted over the lukewarmness of that church.
Amen.
Wow. Good stuff, Aaron. Anybody else? Jump in.
Hey, Aaron. Aaron, this is George Lewis from Tulsa. Do you know a guy named Alan Miracle?
I do not.
Street preacher? Okay. Well, it's interesting because a couple weeks ago, he's a street preacher, and he was down at the abortion clinic on Friday. We were all down there, and he had a kind of a bullhorn, and he wasn't really loud at all, but we got the cops called. They not only brought one, they brought three officers, but we stood up to him. We didn't back down, but and it's kind of what you're saying. I can see the days coming, though, where we Christians are going to have to make a decision, aren't we? I mean, who are we going to serve? Are we going to stand
up? It's already here.
And it is a decision, isn't it, Aaron? I mean, we have to settle it that, hey, if we have to go to jail, then it may come to that, right?
That's right. I think if more Christians watching right now would simply say, I am done sitting with you, I'd rather every church in America this Sunday shut their doors and go out to the street for one service and do something.
Amen.
For God than to sit in their little padded pews and their little cushy seats with their rock and roll bands and their entertainment and smoke coming off the stadium and all the stuff that goes on today. I would much rather some Christians get out of these churches every once in a while. Let's go do something for God. Let's pick up a sword. Let's sharpen it. Let's memorize the scripture. Let's go out and actually care that over 60 million babies have been butchered in this country and that every minute a baby's life is being snuffed out and the screams of those precious children are not being heard. I think if these so-called Christians would realize that we are supposed to be in a battle and that we will be held accountable on Judgment Day for our lukewarmness. We will.
Hey, Aaron, we're about out of time. I just something amazing just popped into my head. I heard George, I think it was George and somebody else earlier, identified you as a street preacher. Perhaps, Aaron, we need to start identifying other people as church preachers. Church preachers. Amen. Because, right? It's only a guy like you who takes the gospel to the streets that somehow they put in this weird category. Oh, Aaron is a street preacher. You would never see the head of the Assemblies of God. Heaven forbid that he would be out street preaching. He's a church preacher. And the truth be told, brother, those are not the same thing. Hey, folks, listen, I exhort you right now. I stole that word from you, Aaron. Share this video because Aaron's story ought to be going viral, what they've done to him. And what we're seeing happening all across America is guys like Aaron being picked off one at a time, nobody doing anything about it. And the church world won't do anything about it because they want Aaron to shut his daggone mouth. They don't want to hear it anymore. They want to be safe inside the security of their own church. So let's spread this far and wide. Parting thoughts there, Aaron.
Well, I would just close with this. Jude 1:3, he says, "Beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you," there's that word, "that ye should earnestly contend, fight, battle for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints." And we don't just stand on the blood of 1 million soldiers that have bled and died in this nation. We stand on the blood of over 100 million Christians and prophets throughout time that have stood for what's right, the truth, and have died for it. And so we need to,
amen,
need to deny ourselves. We need to pick, amen, up our cross, and we need to actually follow Jesus and stop doing lip service.
Amen.
Aaron Brummett, a street preacher. By the way, he's also a church preacher. He has one of those as well. God bless you, Aaron. Hey, Aaron, stay in there with us when we close out. Got some guys who want to ask you some questions. God bless you, folks. Aaron Brumman. Aaron, what's your website? What's your website, Aaron, or where can they reach you?
They can get to our church website by going to repentancecry.com.
Repentancecry.com.
That'll take them our main church website. That'll take them to the Anabaptist is our website.
Yep. All right, Aaron. All right, Aaron. You're used to bread and water, brother. I'll see you down the road. God bless you, man. Keep standing up for Jesus. See you, folks. See you tomorrow.